Brethren, we have given Trevor a lot of crap for his freezing cold hot takes over the years, but Hunter might have had the worst hot take of all time
in the chat the other day. That is not true. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome everyone to the Hype Train podcast.
My name is Joe Wheat. Right there.
I'm your conductor, Joe Wheat, as always with my boys, Hunter Miller and Jackson Payne, joining us from the Deseret News.
I want it on record. I'm going through it right now. I want this on record. You say it was me. It was indeed our old friend Trevor, who is not here to defend himself because his wife is having a baby tomorrow. So shout out to him, tweet at him, give him some congratulations on Twitter. The initial text said, and I quote, hot take, five dots, BYU losing in the first round actually keeps Pope at BYU rather than him going to Kentucky. If the team went on a run, he would be gone. Quote, Trevor Lovett, this past Monday at 12:38 p.m.
Now, to be fair,
Trevor's hot take curse knows no bounds.
I hate it.
To be fair, though, I mean, everybody had the same thought. Like, literally when the Kentucky job opened, I had two people in the know text me and say, well, BYU losing to Duquesne could not have come at a more perfect time. Like, that should have kept Pope here. And then Scott Drew had to go to breakfast in Waco yesterday, and whoever else said no. Billy Donovan had to stay with the sorry A Bulls. Like,
and look, there were probably about how many NCAA teams are there? 350. We'll just call it 350. There were 349 schools that could have offered Mark Pope this job, and he probably would have stayed at BYU. And it just so happens that the school that he went to, he won a national championship at, and somehow has had just a catastrophic coaching search, is the one that offered him the job. I just, like, it's just pain.
There's also 20 other coaches in college basketball that got offered the job that apparently said no to get to this point. Like, we couldn't have seen, like Jackson was saying, like, all these coaches being like, no thanks, I'm fine. No thanks, I'm fine. We also couldn't have foreseen that John Calipari would leave Kentucky for a job like Arkansas. Like, Arkansas is funded by Tyson Foods. They're funded by Walmart. Like, they've got big money. But in no world is an Arkansas head coaching job better than the Kentucky job.
This is all Jack Golke's fault. He is the enemy here.
Look,
the new age Jimmer is the one that actually comes back to bite BYU.
Megamind Jimmer.
This time around.
Hey Cougar fans, just wanted to tell you all about our new sponsor, Defense Drinks. Defense is a premium recovery mix specifically designed to aid in injury prevention and tissue restoration, setting it apart from typical sports drinks. Defense is formulated with high quality ingredients, primarily collagen and vitamin C, to help keep athletes playing the sports they love. Whether you're an athlete or just at home after a tough workout, Defense can help you recover and recover quickly. Defense contains collagen, which research suggests can help strengthen and restore tissues around joints, reducing the risk of soft tissue injuries. So head to defensedrinks.com today to place your order. Use the code HYPETRAIN at checkout for 10% off, and right now, get free shipping on all orders of $75 or more. That's defensedrinks.com.
This is probably, if you're a fan of BYU, if you're a fan of Kentucky, and if you're a fan of Mark Pope, this is probably an L in all categories. BYU loses a great head coach. Kentucky pushes out one of their great head coaches of all time for losing in the first round of the NCAA tournament and turns around and hires a guy who's only known first round exits in the NCAA tournament. And if you're Mark Pope, you have to move to Lexington, Kentucky. Okay. Like, it's L's all around. Like, so From the BYU perspective, it's pretty gut wrenching. I'm feeling a very profound sense of sadness right this second that I haven't felt since the end of that Duquesne game. Guys, I was doing great. I had like completely moved on to hiking season. I haven't thought about sports in weeks. Masters coverage kicked off today.
Tiger Woods is
1-under par through 13. I am vibing. I am just having the best time. The weather's getting warm, and all of a sudden,
poof,
it's all gone. Like, all the hope I had next year leaves on a train to the south. Like, it just
to Lexington. I would like to thank Mark Pope and Kentucky for two reasons. One, well, it's kind of twofold, for waiting till 8:30 on a Friday to drop this news. One, they waited till what? Oh,
it's Thursday.
Oh my gosh.
It wasn't even a Friday.
Here's why. The news broke like 5 minutes before I got to St. George. I come to St. George for the weekend, doing a little bit of golfing, humble brag. I want to thank him for waiting, because like, if had this news dropped while I was in Fillmore, like, it would have been a catastrophic final 2 hours of a drive. Additionally, waiting till the end of Masters Thursday is another nice touch, because again, had this news dropped like as Max Homa is like four rounds and in, and Scottie Scheffler is 6-under par going into the 13th hole, like, that would have been a totally different story, right? Like, too many other things going on. So I do appreciate him waiting till like 8 p.m. on a Thursday to drop this news. But you're right, Joe. Like, we as a collective BYU fan base had kind of moved on from the catastrophic end to this basketball season. We thought that now March Madness was over with. The Duquesne loss was behind us. BYU wasn't even like featured at all in like the One Shining Moment highlight to end the season. Like, basketball ended terribly. It is what it is. We're on to bigger and better things. BYU baseball just beat Utah a couple of days ago. Jackson's Orioles are off to a scorching hot start, and Jackson Holiday is called up to the majors. It's the Masters going on this weekend. I just shot a personal best on the golf course the other week. Like, things were looking up.
And I'm about to graduate. Just humble brag right there.
Jackson's about to graduate. Like, things were going great.
Everything was coming up, everyone, right?
And then on Thursday, April 11th, the world is turned upside down. BYU basketball suddenly is a rudderless ship. This coming like 2 days after BYU Sports Nation did like an entire like 20-minute segment on like, is the hype for BYU basketball going into this 2024-25 season for real? They're ranked like way too early preseason rankings by every outlet, has BYU in the top 20. They're going to get Colin Chandler. It's going to be awesome. And now it's like, Mark Pope's gone. Jackson Robinson's probably going to for sure leave. Like, there was already rumors of him being offered a mega NIL deal to Kentucky to begin with.
Kansas.
Now his Kansas. My mistake. Scratch that from the record. But mega NIL deals. Mega NIL deals elsewhere. If he doesn't go to the NBA, now he's definitely not going to come back to BYU for a final season to play under a new head coach. When all these other offers and options are on the table, you have Colin Chandler coming back from his mission. Who knows what's going to happen there? You have Dallin Hall rumors floating around Cougar board and around Twitter. Who knows what's going to happen there? Like, all these things where BYU is poised to go into this next season as a team with a lot of expectations, despite how this last season ended. Now we don't know what to expect. We don't know who's going to be the head coach. I know there's a short list of kind of favorites, but the roster might be completely different. Anytime a coach leaves, you're going to get guys entering the portal. Basketball is a whole nother beast because it's open season in the portal every year for BYU, for college basketball, regardless. This entire next season for BYU Hoops completely turned on its head in a matter of 15 minutes. From like Mark Pope's interviewing to Mark Pope's the guy at Kentucky.
It's terrible because of all the advantages that BYU had next year, like, BYU, my theory and my expectation for next year, had Pope stayed, had they kept the band together, even with Jackson leaving, was that BYU could compete for a Big 12 title, because they have one thing that like nobody does in college basketball. They had that continuity. They had that existing core. They got old together. They stayed old. And now that's out the window because who knows who's going to go with Pope. You know, Robbie McCombs put out a piece. He thinks that Khalifa and Waterman are all but gone. I mean, Jackson's obviously gone. I mean, like you said, there's rumors with Dallin Hall. Colin Chandler. I mean, I cannot believe we're going to live in a world where Hao Dong played more minutes at BYU than Colin Chandler potentially. Like, that's horrible. I mean, look at BYU. Everything that BYU was supposed to be last year or this past year in the Big 12, that preseason number 13, like the doormat of the league, they could very well be this next year. Like, Mark Pope just pulled the bottom Jenga piece out. Everything's fallen down. It's so sad because this next year's team, I mean, that's the biggest what if. It's not Brandon Davies in the Final Four. It's not Brandon Davies not getting suspended. It's not COVID canceling 2020 tournament. It's what if Mark Pope stayed with Colin Chandler and with this team this next year. Like, I'm going to lose so much sleep over that forever.
All right, Cougar fans, T-Lev Y-Fan here to talk to you about a sponsor that we have had on this channel for quite a while, and that is Coug Connect. Coug Connect is one of the premier NIL sponsors of all of your favorite athletes, and they have one job, and that's for you to be able to get face-to-face with all of these athletes and be able to have a way to be able to put money in their pockets as they continue to be money on the field. You will be able to enjoy plenty of content with your subscription of $10 a month, such as my own show, Face-to-Face Time, where I've interviewed athletes such as Darius Lassiter and freshman phenom LJ Martin, as well as film study and various articles from Coug Connect members. Again, $10 a month. It's one lunch in a month. Put money in these Cougars' pockets. Head to CougConnect.com, hit that big blue subscribe button, and get your subscription today and start putting in your money and paving a way for these Cougs to make a big name for themselves, both on the field and off the field.
And at the risk of being a little too sensationalistic, we don't know what's going to happen. Okay, like, we don't know who BYU is going to hire. Colin Chandler is probably asleep somewhere in London, England right now, and has no idea that any of this is going on yet. So, like, he hasn't made a decision. Like, and there's a couple things that are striking and kind of my initial reactions to this is, one, it appears none of the players knew. Like, we have text messages from players that we've seen where they were surprised about this as anyone. Ali Khalifa posted a now deleted upside down happy face emoji. He didn't seem to have any idea what was going on. So, like, again, the speed that this came together with was shocking. First reaction is, I'm happy for Mark Pope. Like, this Kentucky was his dream job, won a national championship there. Like BYU's coach was good enough to get poached by Kentucky. That in some roundabout way, that's a weird win for this program, but that's awesome. Like, great for him. What makes me scared and what's going to make me lose sleep is what's going to happen to the core of this roster. Now, the good news is 90% of the players on the roster are not good enough to follow Mark Pope to Kentucky. Like, if Dallin Hall is a starting point guard at Kentucky next season, there are going to be riots in the Bluegrass State. There really are. Like, I love Dallin Hall. I love Dallin Hall. I think he's a great player. He's young. I think he's he's proven that he can play point guard at an elite power conference level. Kentucky is not, they're not going to fly with that being your starting point guard. So set that aside. Guys like Jackson Robinson, definitely good enough to play at Kentucky. I wasn't planning on him coming back next year anyway. Now it's probably sure that he's gone. Colin Chandler, I think it all depends on who you hire as your next head coach. And it's why I am 1000% on the Burgess hype train. Like, give me Burgess. He's the one who recruited like half of this BYU roster. Foos, Dallin, Richie, Colin Chandler. Like, all of those were Burgess primary recruits. Like, Mark Pope is an awesome recruiter as well who closed the deal. But like, you got to do whatever you got to do. Even if it's just for a year, like, you just got to do what you got to do to keep the core of this roster together. Because if you get, like, if Dallin Hall goes to Utah, or, you know, Colin Chandler goes to Utah or something like that, which there's rumors out there that they will, it would be an absolute catastrophe for the BYU basketball program, just from an optics perspective. Like, from a fan support perspective, like, you got to do whatever it takes. Like, whatever NIL money you were going to offer to Jackson Robinson, which apparently was substantial, give it to Colin Chandler. Whatever money that you were going to put towards a Pope extension, give it to Colin Chandler. I don't care what you got to do. Like, he has to play minutes in a BYU uniform. He has to.
Whatever money Ryan Smith was going to give to purchase the Arizona Coyotes and move them to Utah,
give it to Colin Chandler. Absolutely.
Hey, BYU basketball can survive if Ryan Smith has the courage to do what's right.
And I'm not.
Help us, Ryan.
But that's the thing too. Like, the thing that really, like, what's like the most twisted, like, messed up thing about all of this is this is happening like 3 weeks before Colin Chandler gets home, and every, like, this has been the most sickening mission for any BYU athlete among the BYU fan base, because it's like there's so many rumors. I mean, BYU's never landed a guy of this caliber in basketball, and he had so many ties to Utah, and the Utah fans are just insisted that he's going to leave for Utah eventually, right? And so just like every passing transfer, every day was just more and more anxiety that what if Colin Chandler didn't come to BYU? And now at the finish line, this happens. And I mean, I agree with Joe. Like, if Chris Burgess comes, that's the best chance of retaining this current core. He's a really underrated coach. I know a lot of people like are kind of anti-Burgess for whatever reason, but like that would actually be a really good hire. I think they're going to go for Mark Madsen first, but they're going to end up with Burgess. We can talk more about that later. But if they get Burgess, like, this roster could be – it could escape okay. But, like, the prospect of Colin Chandler not playing at BYU is catastrophic. Like, that would be
– It would be a – both of these things can be true. Missions are awesome, and I think every worthy young man should serve a mission. Like, it's changed my life, and I love it in so many ways, and that's really what's important in life. On the flip side of that coin, man, it has bitten BYU fans in the butt for years. Like, people always say, you know, missions are such an advantage to BYU. Well, tell that to John Henry Daly. Tell that to Logan Fano. Tell that to Colin Chandler if he does, in fact, end up leaving. Like, so many highly touted dudes that we were stoked for 2 years just to come home and go somewhere else. Like, it's just suffering, and it's all I know. As a BYU fan,
two best players in BYU basketball history, neither of them mission guys, FYI.
Yeah, Danny Ainge and Jimmer, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason.
Their mission was buckets on the basketball court.
Hey, which again, like, missions are what's important. Let's be clear here. Like, there's more to life than basketball. But man, I really wanted to see Colin Chandler suit up in a BYU uniform next season.
And there's a reason why Sean Bradley declared for the draft immediately after his mission. I think he knew he was washed at BYU, right? Like, I mean, I'm just kidding. But
the Monstars got his talents.
His Monstar was the only one that didn't score in Space Jam. There's your second most depressing fact of the night, beside the fact
Wow, I did not know that.
I'm a bit of a Space Jam connoisseur,
clearly.
You don't acknowledge the second one is canon, but
so where does BYU turn from here then? Obviously, you know, Burgess is the popular name mentioned. Mark Madsen is one. Don't sleep on BYU freshman cornerback Trey Alexander, who tweeted it to Ben Kirtle's poll and said he'll coach if need be the first player coach crossing two different sports.
It's like
player on the football field, coach on the basketball court. I mean, I don't know where you guys stand on this. Cody Feger is like a guy who I think absolutely deserves a shot, but he doesn't fit the member Temple recommend, qualification, which I tweeted out that I think it's a dumb rule. I think there are lots of non-members who are probably more qualified to coach the BYU basketball team than a lot of members are, right? And not even speaking X's and O's, and on the X's and O's side of things, I think just like as worthiness, right? Like, there's probably a lot of guys who are probably more suited to coach at BYU that are non-members than are members.
I don't know the last time God used an angelic visitation on this earth, but if he has one to just throw around right now, I would either visit Cody Feger tonight and say, join the church, or I would visit Shane Reese and say, repeal the stupid policy about member coaches. Like, Cody Feger should be the guy. Like, That would make the most sense. That would be the best, like the best option for this team right now is Cody Feger. And it's not going to happen because of what you just said.
So best options, clearly Mark Madsen. Robbie McCombs put out a list of 9 potential candidates. Go check it out at Vanquish the Foe. Obvious choice is Mark Madsen, coach at Cal.
Who just a month ago did sign an extension at Cal.
Yeah,
for what it's worth.
His buyout is higher. Buyout would be about $6 million.
Yeah, and his buyout I think is higher if he goes to BYU because they know that that's a risk. But like again, $6 million, like BYU's going to the Big 12, like BYU's, you know, getting a Big 12 paycheck now, like you kind of got to pony up. But the buyout's probably a significant factor, but I'd love to see Mark Madsen at BYU. Number two is Chris Burgess, 1000%. Like we've listed it before. Do whatever it takes to keep the core of the roster and keep Colin Chandler at BYU. If you don't get either of those two, man, I'm feeling pretty bleak, honestly.
You do have Nick Robinson, who, you know, another assistant with Cody, who is LDS on the staff. Jonathan Tavernari threw out an interesting one, Lee Kamard.
I'd be so fired up for Lee Kamard.
He's been the assistant on the women's basketball team for the last, you know, what is it now, like 6 years. I do know there was a bit of mumbling on the part of the BYU women's basketball roster when he was passed up for the head coaching job for the women's team when Jeff Judkins left. So I think he's a coach that players really like to play for. Obviously, I think the women's basketball team is going to be a lot different than the men's in terms of the hours spent recruiting. Can you game plan for playing Texas and Baylor and Houston as opposed to, you know, the game planning that goes into for the women's basketball team? And that's not a knock on them. It's just, you know, it's a different ball game recruiting high school girls and high school guys to come play basketball at your school.
And transfer portal guys too. I mean, that's
transfer portal's a different ball game.
Honestly, yeah. Just once the Olympics are over, just give Jimmer a blank check. Let Jimmer coach the team. You know how many dudes in the transfer portal would come to BYU just because they could play for Jimmer? That'd be so. BYU would be the best vibes team in the country. They might suck, but the vibes would be awesome, and that's all I care.
Only you thought BYU shot that. You thought BYU shot a lot of threes this season. Just wait till Jimmer's a coach.
Hey, I'm sorry.
They won't have heard the term paint.
You haven't even begun to hear the term 3YU.
After watching Patrick Ewing at Georgetown and Juwan Howard at Michigan, I never want to hire a former player to be a head coach ever again.
What about Mark Pope at Kentucky?
Yeah. We'll see.
Maybe.
We'll see how that goes. Sneaky name off Robbie's list. I actually really like Casey Beard. I didn't know that Houston had a LDS coach on staff, but that could be a decent hire if you're looking to hire someone from a top 10 team. Kevin Young, associate head coach of the Phoenix Suns, is also LDS. Again, there's probably a little bit of experience and cachet that can go along with that. Really, like what I loved about Mark Pope, I mean, he designed a great offense for BYU, but what I really loved about him is he was a relentless recruiter, and BYU needs more of that. Like too often in BYU program circles, whether it be football, whether it be basketball, for whatever reason, the coaches have skated by on minimal recruiting effort. And then that's been fine for BYU because of course BYU is not expected to get these high-end recruits. Mark Pope showed that BYU can land really, really good players. And so whoever it is, I need it to be someone who will jump on a plane to Mali if necessary to go get me a 6'11 big man who can block shots and, you know, catch lobs, like whatever it takes. Just get me a guy who is a recruiter. And again, I think that's why Burgess is that kind of guy, because he has such great connections with the in-state AAU circuit and with so many of the guys on BYU's current roster.
Hey, don't sleep on Mark Madsen though. I don't know if you saw the picture of him on the subway working.
He landed a guy out of the transfer portal to come to Cal of all places last season, who's projected to be a first round NBA draft pick. Like, he's a good recruiter. His rosters at UVU were always loaded with talent. Ultimately that talent usually transferred somewhere else. But like, to get that talent at UVU is nothing to scoff at. Like, again, Madsen's probably my first choice. Burgess is number two, but like, you gotta, but it's gotta be fast, man. Like, you gotta, to save the roster and to save next year, you can't be BYU this. You can't be 4 months to hire a tight end coach. Okay. Like, you gotta get on this quickly.
BYU's gotta be announcing their new head coach like this time next week.
Oh, I'd say
like maybe sooner.
I'd say Tuesday is the absolute latest you can announce. Like, Tuesday should be the press.
Ryan Smith. Ryan needs to be on the phone with Chris Burgess right now. Let me throw out another name. This is not like a very, very long shot. Not really going to happen. I'm just going to toss it out there. You don't like it, you toss it right on back. All right. Another former BYU basketball player, BYU royalty, Austin Ainge. Currently the assistant general manager for the Boston Celtics, working under Brad Stevens, has the eye for talent in the NBA, helped construct this roster for the Celtics. That's the best roster in the NBA, best regular season record in the NBA. He has experience as a coach for Southern Utah and for the Celtics G League team, Maine Red Claws. I'm just I don't know salary-wise what it looks like, but obviously Danny just came from the Celtics. He's working in a front office role with Utah Jazz now. Maybe Austin wants to come back to Utah. I don't know. I'm throwing it out there. Probably not going to happen, but I just want to be
not a bad
first.
Name.
I know nothing about it, but Austin I like the Ainge. Name.
The name Ainge is enough for me, man. I mean, I know Alex Jensen is a guy. He's LDS. He was on the Jazz staff for a while. He's in the G League right now. Like, that would be a good name too, but like, if you had to choose between those two as like your NBA guys, like, you got to go with the guy whose last name is Ainge. That's just a no-brainer.
He's a American basketball coach, executive, and former collegiate player. He is the current assistant GM for the Boston Celtics.
I like it.
So, I mean, sure. I'm just throwing it out there. We throw names out there as a podcast, you know. Wild speculations, and we hope that one of them comes true. Trevor's speculation that Mark Pope would not be going to Kentucky did not come true. And he's forever cursed, and we might need to start discussing a ban on his hot takes.
Even in the group chat, man, it's not even on the podcast anymore. Poor guy.
His group chat hot takes are now cursing us. There's his curse knows no bounds at this point.
Hey. I don't think Hello Darkness, my old friend, is going to cut it on this one, Hunter.
It's the sad George Michael from Arrested Development walking down with the Charlie Brown song in the background. The depressing.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a question. What do you think, if this is, I mean, this looks like it's the end of the Mark Pope era. What is Mark Pope's legacy at BYU look like? Like, what? How do we describe it now? Because it's in the books.
A lot of potential, not a lot of results.
Maybe top. He's probably a top five BYU. I don't know anything about BYU basketball pre like 1970, but he's probably a top five.
Had five coaches since 1970.
Honestly, I don't know who was the coach of those Danny Ainge teams in the 80s, but whoever that was is probably up there with Dave Rose.
Well, Stan Watts is in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, so Stan Watts, Dave Rhodes,
Roger,
Frank Arnold was the coach for the Danny Ainge years. I mean,
here's the question. Let's go cross.
Oh, sport 19, Tony Engel.
Let's go cross sport comparison. Who has the better legacy at BYU, Mark Pope or Bronco Mendenhall?
Probably Bronco.
I would agree. Like, Pope has had some great teams. He's had three teams finish, I think, in the top 20, top 25, in his, what, six seasons?
Yeah.
Did this year not finish?
No, they did not.
Well,
two teams. You had the first year after, first 2 years after Gabe Rose finished in the top 25, and none after that. You had two NCAA tournament appearances, both times lost in the first round. I'm trying to look to see if he had any NBA draft picks.
He didn't. No, they haven't had a draft pick since Jimmer, unless Jackson gets.
Oh, zero NBA draft picks, zero tournament wins, two top 25 finishes, both with which both came immediately after the Dave Rose era.
I guess
the legacy is he just kept the ball rolling. Like it's more of the same as what it was under Dave Rose. Like at least the early years of Dave Rose, like you make the tournament, you know, every other year and lose in the first round.
I think his legacy. Go ahead.
I was just going to say one more thing. His 19 wins in 2022-23 ties the fewest BYU wins in a single season since the start of the Dave Rose era in 2005 as well.
That's brutal.
So it's kind of like, I think Mark Pope is a great coach. I don't really think there was like a ton of results that had me excited. Like, I think there were really fun individual games and fun moments. And I think this season was an overachievement, which was awesome. But like what he did during his six seasons here is kind of standard in terms of what we as BYU fans should come to expect. It's not like we're losing a Bronco Mendenhall that took BYU to like multiple 11 win seasons and developed multiple NFL quarterbacks and had some of the most fun, prolific BYU football teams that we've had since LaVell Edwards.
And won conference championships. I mean,
yeah, won conference championships, won rivalry games, like multiple AP top 25 finishes.
And also, when Bronco took over, that was like the lowest point BYU football had ever had because there was that whole scandal with all the players. We don't have to go into that, but that was like a national blemish for BYU. And Bronco took over and like took a program that was just like gutted and like as embarrassed as you can be and made them a juggernaut again, right? Pope, like, I think his legacy is that he brought energy back into the program for BYU basketball because, like, I love Dave Rose. Dave Rose is a legend. I love Tim Lacombe. I love all those guys from that staff. But by the end of Dave Rose's tenure, that was my freshman year, was Dave Rose's last year. Like, no one cared about basketball. Like, basketball was kind of dead. Games weren't very fun. Like, there was no buzz around the program. And at least Pope, like, made basketball exciting again. Like, he would get the, like, he would win the offseason every year. They'd have a few big wins that, like, raised your eyebrows. There was an energy. He did Midnight Madness. That wasn't a thing with Rose. Like, so he at least, like, brought the energy. Like, he made basketball, like, really, really matter again at BYU. And I think something should be said for that.
He's probably the best PR coach in BYU history.
I'd agree with that. I think he helped.
Best
he
PR helped conference BYU, coach in BYU history.
Yeah, he helped BYU kind of modernize their approach to basketball,
which is great. Like,
is a huge win. Probably if that's most his legacy achievement.
If that's his legacy and the standard of what it means to recruit at BYU changes because of Mark Pope, then he will go down as one of the all-time greats for me. But I mean, we'll see. Like, the good news is to Hunter's point, like, there is a standard at BYU and there appears to be a very clear floor on BYU's basketball program. Like, Utah State of all schools has managed to cycle through like five head coaches in the last 4 years and has made the tournament pretty much every single year. Like, there's no reason in my mind, as limited as BYU's coaching pool is, like, there's always going to be, we have basketball courts in every church in America. Like, there is always going to be a somewhat pool of athletes that BYU can pick from that will come and get BYU to a tournament once every couple of years.
And if there's a generational guy that wants to play at BYU, it doesn't matter who the coach is. Cause like BYU always stumbles into a generational guy every once in a while. They'll have a Danny Ainge, they'll have a Jimmer, they'll have a Sean Bradley. Like, they'll have these guys that'll come along and, you know, if history repeats itself, and it will, there's going to be another one and they're going to choose BYU cause they want to be at BYU. Maybe it's Colin Chandler. Maybe Colin Chandler is all about the church and wants to go to devotional every Tuesday and wants to go tunnel singing. I mean, I would love that.
I really hope he loved his mission.
I hope he's AP right now because he'd be spiritual and want to stay, right? but that's like, if they're like BYU, Ben Criddle always says this. I don't know if I agree with it, but I think there is some truth to it. BYU only makes noise in the tournament when they have a generational guy. You look at their deepest finishes, it was Danny Ainge and it was Jimmer. They don't really have anything else in between. When BYU has a generational guy, they'll go to the tournament. And when BYU has a generational guy, it's because that person wants to be at BYU and it doesn't matter who the coach is.
I agree. Like, there, and it's the same thing in football that we've said, right? Like, there are guys that are just BYU guys that, regardless of who their coach is at the time, like, they should be in Provo. And I think that's a unique trait to BYU. Like, I think there's few other schools that are like that. You know, I think you look at maybe a Notre Dame, and a lot of that may have to do with just the religion aspect, but also just like the cultural and regional aspect to it as well. But yeah, like, I think the biggest success Mark Pope had was he modernized like the approach and the PR, the, you know, social media, the communications team, like, around BYU basketball, right? Like, he made it BYU basketball kind of cool and fun and excitement around him, despite what was happening on the court. Because I think in prior years, you had to have a Jimmer Fredette to really have attention on BYU basketball. But Mark Pope did that without a Jimmer Fredette. I think another one of his big wins is he started looking outside of the traditional, we're going to recruit Mormon white kids from Alpine, Utah and Utah County, right? Like, that was no longer the scope of BYU basketball recruiting. He went to places like Africa. He brought in multiple Muslim players to BYU and to Provo to play basketball. He really expanded the scope of BYU recruiting. And in the transfer portal era, I think that's huge and very much needed in order to be competitive at basketball. I think, unfortunately, as far as on-court success goes, Mark Pope's going to be looked at a guy that had some fun teams, but they never really achieved much of note. They didn't win any tournament games. They didn't win any conference championships. They won, you know, a very limited amount of conference tournament games to begin with.
There's nothing you can hang your hat on for the Mark Pope era.
Yeah. Like, you look at Dave Rose, like, Dave Rose can hang his hat on those Jimmer years and the Sweet 16 run.
His best wins were all off the court.
Like,
and Kansas.
He had a couple of fun.
Kansas was the big one.
Against Gonzaga. But those are like games, right? Like, those aren't like monumental seasons or monumental accomplishments. Those are just every, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day. And not to say that Mark Pope's a broken clock, but sometimes, regardless of what's going on, you're going to have wins like that, or you should have wins like that, right? Like, Kansas lost on the road to West Virginia this year. West Virginia was terrible. Like, teams, like, individual games are individual games. They're fun and they're worth celebrating, but it's nothing to look back on a 6-year tenure and say, yeah, but you beat Kansas.
Yeah,
Pope. And that was really fun.
Pope would be like, he would win for a night, he would win a press conference, and he might win an offseason, but it wasn't going to be more than that. Like, he was never going to win, like, he's never going to win a longer period, right?
Yeah.
I hesitate to say never would. Like, I think he could have had he stuck at BYU, but we only know what we know. And, you know, we can delve into the hypotheticals, but I do think, like, if you look at the 6 years of actual results, there's nothing that really jumps out and is like, you know, wow, what a great, you know, coach Mark Pope was at BYU. I think he was a really fun coach. I think he was a beloved coach, and I think he was a very good coach. But I can't look back at him and be like, yeah, he was up there as one of the all-time greats. Look at what his teams did. Because at the end, they really didn't do a whole lot.
What's up, Cougar fans? Let me tell you about our newest sponsor, Charlie Hustle. Charlie Hustle is the premier college apparel brand in all of the internet. Seriously, they have everything you need. They have royal, they have navy, they have white. Kalani could fill his entire wardrobe with just three clicks. From tees to hoodies to crew neck sweatshirts to 1984 memorabilia, they have it all for you. Head over to charliehustle.com and get geared up today.
Yeah, no, I agree. Switching gears real quick. Apparently Ryan Smith didn't know. He is on the front row of the Jazz, just left the arena, you know, on the phone. So clearly there is some kind of
to call Coach Burgess.
Apparently.
Where are you seeing this?
There are Kansas, so this was from Andy Larson. And then there are Kansas fans who are saying, from a source close to donors, AD's office is phone number here. We have a chance to stop this. It'll be the most diabolical thing ever, but we can, even if the boosters are trying to leverage this. They don't want Mark, Kansas or Kentucky fans don't want Mark Pope either. So feel free to call 859-257-8015 and leave a voicemail as to why you think Kentucky should not hire Mark Pope so that he stays at BYU.
That would be a switch if they end up backtracking, which, like, this is not going to happen. If somehow Kentucky's like, you know what, never mind. Like, does Mark Pope come back to BYU and be like, hey, like,
your buddy,
I'm back. And what is BYU's reaction to that?
My buddy Grant Nielsen, he tweeted something and he's like, what if we just sent Nate Austin and told them it was Mark Pope and see if they noticed?
That's the tweet of the year.
Oh, it's perfect.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think Pope is going to do a good job at Kentucky because, one, he understands the assignment. Like, it means something to him. Like, this has been his dream. And also, like, there's no shackles of NIL or honor code or trying to recruit non-members and minorities to Provo, Utah, right? Like, he has no – he's completely off the chain now. Like, he has no limits. And that's – for a guy like Mark Pope that's so ambitious and so charismatic, like, Mark Pope is built for that kind of job. Like, I – look, maybe call it blue goggles, whether that be Kentucky blue or BYU blue. I think that he can win a national title at Kentucky. And I think that someday Kentucky fans will laugh really hard about this whole – I mean the Jazz fans booed John Stockton the night he was drafted, right? Like, they're going to look back at it like this, like, hopefully. But, I mean, Mark Pope, this is all he's ever wanted. This is what he's grinded for. Like, I mean, he's going to go so hard at Kentucky. I think it's a great match. I just wish it wasn't right now because – I wish that next year had happened because next year would have been so much fun. And I'm already trying to sell Mark Pope Crisis of Faith t-shirts.
There's going to be a lot of, like, talk about why Mark Pope left. Like, I know it already. Like, people are going to talk about NIL, right? Like, oh, well, he can get his players and there's more NIL at Kentucky. And, you know, that's going to be tossed out as a reason. At the end of the day, it's a guy who won a national championship as a player at Kentucky, going to Kentucky. That is, you know, on paper, a top five college basketball head coaching job in America, right? Like, it's Duke, it's North Carolina, it's Kansas, and then it's like Kentucky and probably Michigan State are probably like the five blue blood college basketball. Like, those are the jobs that are I'm saying this as if like a bunch of guys didn't turn down the Kentucky job this year, but like, those are the five jobs that 99% of college basketball coaches in the country would dream of having. Like, that's what they aspire to reach, those kind of levels. And Mark Pope, at the end of the day, he's a Kentucky guy. He played there, like I said, won a championship there, and he got offered that job, the five most sought after jobs. And he took it. And I don't think there's anyone that could say, you know, that they wouldn't have done the same had they been in a situation like that. And I don't think it's a knock on BYU. I don't think we can sit here and say if BYU would have just done this better and this better and had more NIL money or blah, 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 Mark Pope would still be here. Because I think it was just like, you know, I think it was you, Jackson, who opened up the podcast by saying this. It could have been any other job in the country that offered Mark Pope. And he probably would have stayed at BYU. It just so happened to be that this one was Kentucky. And it's the job he probably dreamt of having since he was a player, playing in the NBA for the Milwaukee Bucks. And he hung up his basketball shoes for the last time and he decided to be a coach. And Kentucky was probably that job that he always had as his dream job. And that's all right. As a BYU fan, I can sit here and say that's okay. Because I know that there are coaches out there that view the BYU job that same way, that they would dream of having the BYU head coaching job. For BYU basketball. And that's just the reality of the sport, right? Like, nothing you can do about it.
Sun will come out.
It sucks.
But it sucks.
Instead of calling the Kentucky AD's office, find Colin Chandler's missionary email, spam him with emails, tell him to stay at BYU. We can save this.
There will be more fans that email Colin.Chandler@mylds.net then attend Utah basketball games on a nightly basis. I can promise you that.
I don't think there's a dot. I think it's just C Chandler, right?
C Chandler, Colin Dot Chandler, Chandler Dot Colin, whatever you got to do.
Spam them all.
Some random people serving in like South Dakota is like, I feel so loved. Like, this is awesome. Yeah. I wasn't even going to this is great. I was going to UVU.
I'm an econ major at Southern Utah, but all right. I will go to BYU.
All right, boys. Well, there's always football season.
Oh dear.
Don't remind me. That's going to be even worse.
There's always another Cougarette scandal coming around the corner.
That's the one thing we've got is the national champ Cougarettes and BYU baseball. That is all right.
We are a TikTok school.
Yeah, Cosmo TikTok account might be the one thing we have. But even then, he's singing in the rain.
Or interviewing BYU students.
Would you rather take a sip of alcohol or have Colin Chandler at BYU?
Would you rather take a sip of alcohol or have Colin Chandler go to Utah when he gets off his mission?
Yeah.
Oh, the real one.
A sip of alcohol. Give me the whole bottle.
If he goes to Utah, I might need the whole bottle.
Oh, if Colin Chandler went to Utah, that would be...
That was the ending right there, Hunter. That was the ending right there.
If Colin Chandler goes to Utah, I'll need more than just a sip.
Yep.
And podcast. Go Cougs.
Go Cougs.